please stand today to begin worship with their call to worship. We gather today to worship the one who created us. The one who equips us. With joyful hearts, let us worship God. Amen.
We'll try this again. Good morning. Good morning. It's great to be with you today. We are so glad that you are here to worship with us. If you've not yet figured it out, it is Children's Sabbath, and so we are celebrating our children. We also want to say Happy Mother's Day to all of you out there. You should have received this little bookmark. We have made a donation in honor of all the mothers to the door, and it's a place for those mothers who've courageously made the choice to leave a violent situation. And so we make that donation in honor of all the mothers, and I just want to wish you all a happy Mother's Day, and we are glad that you are here to worship with us, and let our children lead us in worship this day. So today is Chase Gaines' last Sunday with us as our Director of Worship Arts, and please join me in just saying thank you to Chase for his 4 years of great service for us. Thank you, Chase, for all your good work. We are going to have a reception in the Asbury Commons immediately after this service. There will be cake. You can come by and wish him your well wishes. So that's immediately following this, and it's going to be in the Asbury Commons because there's an art show out here in the Wesley Commons. We have an art program for our youth, on our children, on Wednesdays, and so they're showing off their art on this Children's Sabbath. If you've not had the chance, please peruse it. It's really great. And I want to say a special thank you to Penny Malumbi, who kind of runs that little program and has put all that together. Penny, wherever you are, there she is. Thank you so much. We're grateful. Thank you. So our family ministries is having a Celebrate Summer family picnic. It's going to be June the 4th, and it's going to be from 5 to 7 at Atascocita Park. Each family brings their own picnic lunch, and you know, family is anybody who wants to come. And you'll find some more information in our Wednesday email blast about it. But hope that you'll come and be a part of that on June 4th from 5 to 7 at Atascocita Park. On the 21st, at 6 p.m. in the Asbury Sanctuary, we're having a lay-led prayer service. If you need some prayer, if you need to spend some time with God, this is a great way to do it. I lift it up to you. Again, it's the 21st at 6 p.m. in the Asbury Sanctuary. There's a table set up where you can sign up for the blood drive. Blood drive is coming at the end of the month, and not to put too fine a point on it, but we need your blood. Blood supply is low. It remains low in our community, in our area, and hope that you will sign up if you can give blood. So our tradition has been that once summer starts, our church office is closed on Fridays. And so that will start on the 28th. Our church offices will be closed on Fridays through the summer. And then when school starts back, it'll then be open. So it's great to be with you in worship today. If you're a guest, we're blessed that you're here. If you've not already done so, we ask that you'd stop by our hospitality desk. We have a gift for you and want to make sure that you get it. So on a personal note, my third grandchild was born Wednesday, George William DeShazo. 7 pounds, 6 ounces of baby boy, and we are excited, but he was a little early, and so he is remaining in NICU, and so we would covet your prayers that he will come home soon. So thank you. Oh yeah, invite you to stand and greet each other with a peace of Christ.
Almighty God, we are so grateful for this day. We are grateful for all of the mothers and to those women who were like mothers to us. We know that you are the perfect example of the unconditional love of a parent, and we are so grateful to you for your love and your grace. God, we know for some, for many reasons, today can be a hard day, and for those, we ask that you would give them your comfort and your peace. We bring to you today all of the concerns of our congregation. We lift up to you those that we know you already know, those who are struggling with the day, those who are recovering from an illness, those who are struggling in some way in their family, in their home, and those who are lonely today, Lord, we lift them up to you. We especially lift up little George and ask that you would work healing in his body and that you would offer strength and peace to his parents, Claire and Will. And we ask, Lord, that he would get to come home soon, happy and healthy. We give you thanks today for Chase and for his ministry. We ask that you would be with him as he goes on to his new adventures, and that we would be able to still love and be with him as we follow those and get to see what he does in the future. We are so grateful for all of his gifts, God, and that we were able to have them here for this period of time. Lord, today we are grateful for all the children in this community, the children of this church, and for the ways that they lead us. We ask that you would be with them and prepare their hearts for a lifetime of following you. We lift up all this in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus. Amen. So this morning, our Lord's Prayer will be led by Brecken.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our trespasses, and we lay those trespassing against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Amen.
Please stand as we affirm our faith together. As generations of Christians have before, we've got one more week of the Nicene Creed, and then we'll go back to the Apostles' Creed. Please join me. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and our salvation, he came down from heaven. He was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who is with the Father and the Son, who is worshiped and glorified, who was spoken through the prophets. We believe in the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Would those assisting with offering please come forward? So if you walk through the Asbury Commons today, maybe after, as you attend the reception for Chase, you'll see that there are a lot of cereal boxes that are starting to gather up in the box that we use to collect for HAM, Humble Area Assistance Ministries. And that's because this month is our covenant month with HAM, where we have agreed to collect 1,000 boxes of cereal to stock the shelves of the food pantry, especially in preparation for the summer months. And so while you're at the store, if you could grab an extra box of cereal and send it in to the WLC with your child, or drop it off at the church office or in the commons, we would really appreciate that. And I know the children of the community who will receive that cereal will appreciate it also. We are so grateful to all of you, to this congregation, for the way that you give to God and the way that you equip us to be able to help the community and to show others of God's love and grace. Let us pray. Almighty Father, we are so thankful for all the gifts in our lives, for we know that all gifts come from you. We ask that you would take these offerings that we give to you today, that you would bless, equip, and send them into the hands of those who need to know of your love and your grace and your mercy. God, help us to be your hands and your feet as we continue the work of your holy church. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
I'm good. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, Today's scripture is 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 through 17. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and exiles to abstain from the desires of the flesh that wage war against the soul. Conduct yourselves honorably among the Gentiles, so that though they malign you as evildoers, they may see your honorable deeds and glorify God when he comes to judge. For the Lord's sake, accept the authority of every human institution, whether of the emperor as supreme or governors as sent by him to punish those who do wrong and to praise those who do right. For it is God's will that by doing right you should silence the ignorance of the foolish. As servants of God, live as free people, yet do not use your freedom as a pretext for evil. Honor everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor. It's the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Well done, Henry. Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So our series, Wesleyan Orthodoxy Explained, is continuing. We've talked about God the Father. We've talked about God the Son. We've talked about the work of the Son. We've talked about God the Holy Spirit and something about the Trinity. And today we are taking a look at the church, the work of the church. What is it that the church is supposed to be doing? What do we believe about the church? The word church comes from the Greek word ekklesia, and it is used 77 times in the New Testament, and every time it is used to mean a Christian church. It's never used to describe a Jewish gathering. It's never used to describe a group of pagans that have gathered to worship. But it is used to describe that of a Christian church. And the meaning of ecclesia is a gathering of worshipers. Did you notice that there's nothing about a building in there? You are the church. We together are the church. Now we get to worship here in air-conditioned comfort with fancy things like screens and well-tuned organs and pianos. We have all of that, but that is not the church, my brothers and sisters. It is you. You are the church. Now, I get it. We can become attached to our buildings. It's a place where we gather to celebrate, to worship God. We have baptisms, and sometimes our children's children are baptized here. We have funerals. We have weddings. This is a place of generational gathering. And I get that we can become attached to the space. But let us never, ever forget that you are the church. We make up the church. I served a church that literally the church building burned to the ground, and they decided to relocate. And I got there 2 years after the building had burned down, and we were sort of like the Jews wandering in the wilderness. We worshiped in several different places, one of which was a failing mall. Those people really understood that they were the church. Wherever we went, we were the church. We even did a funeral in the mall because we were the church. It was interesting getting the casket in and out of the mall. Because we were there, we were the church. And you all make up the church. Did you know that in its prime, the city of Sparta, of Spartan fame, was the only Greek city-state that did not have a wall around it? There's a story about a leader that was there, and he was walking around with the king of Sparta. And the king of Sparta kept bragging about the wall that goes around Sparta. He's talking about how it was impenetrable, that it has never failed, that it will never fail. And this dignitary looks around and says, you keep talking about this wall. What wall are you talking about? I see no wall. And he pointed at his troops that were his bodyguards. He said, they are the wall. Each man, each person, a brick. That's true of you. Together, we make up the church. A single brick by itself is really nothing. It sits there. It could be a paperweight, or you could stub your toe on it, or it does nothing. But a whole bunch of bricks together can make a wall, or a building, or in our case, a church. Each one of you are a brick that makes up this church that is Atascocita Methodist Church. We gather together to worship God, and your time, your talent, and your treasure that you give are the bricks that make up this church. Each one of you are a brick in the wall that is our church. So we read in the Nicene Creed, we claim that we believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. In our Apostles' Creed, we confess that we believe in one holy, Catholic church. So what we are professing is that there is one church made up of all the believers of Jesus Christ. Ha! Really? The Center for Study of Global Christianity says that there are over 45,000 denominations worldwide. There are over 200 in America alone. The truth is, we have allowed our humanness to get in the way. And we argue about how much water, or how you have to be baptized, or we argue over other doctrines. What we are professing in these creeds is that we believe ultimately there will be one church united under Christ. It might take the return of Jesus to get there, but we believe that ultimately all believers in Christ will be united in one church that will worship and recognize him. It's kind of a mysterious way that that happens, but we believe that, we claim that, that ultimately there will be one church under Christ. Now, I have confessed to you previously that when we said the Apostles' Creed when I was growing up, and we got to the part where we talked about the Holy Catholic Church, I would not say the word Catholic, because I understood it to be like the Roman Catholic Church. And then some youth director explained to me, "No, Mike, it's a little C. It means universal. It means all church." So this again is this claim that ultimately there will be one church. So when you see that in the creeds in which we read, we're not referencing the Roman Catholic Church, but we are referencing the church universal. And then in the Nicene Creed, we talk about the church being apostolic. I asked a half a dozen people if they'd thought what that means. And not one of them had said, "Really? I'd given it no thought. What does it mean when we say it's an apostolic church?" And I looked it up on the internet. There is a denomination of Pentecostals that are exactly that, the apostolic church. We're not talking about them either. When we're talking about an apostolic church, the Catholic Church will tell you that they believe that they're an apostolic church because their leaders go all the way back to Peter himself. That there is an unbroken lineage from the Apostle Peter, all the way to the current Pope. And for them, that's their understanding of apostolic. But for us, I understand apostolic as that we are still, we can trace back the teachings that we believe all the way back to the apostles, to the teachings of Jesus that came to the apostles and then came down to us through the years. Apostolic. It means that we tie all the way back to the original teachings of Jesus. Our text today comes from 1 Peter. In it, the author tells us who we are and what we should be about as a church. Verse 9 says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, in order that you may proclaim the mighty acts of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." We are a royal priesthood. Y'all, that's a big statement. That's a big concept. That we, mere believers in Christ, are a part of a royal priesthood. Folks, that's a game changer. In the old way, the only one who had access to God was the priest. And only the head priest could go into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God. By us being called a royal priesthood, it means that we each one, each believer in Christ, have direct access to God. We don't need an intercessor for us. We get to go directly before God and petition him and pray to him and have a relationship with him. That's what it means when we are called a royal priesthood. Not one person stands between us and God. And we have the privilege of calling God Father. And we can come before him anytime, and we know that as a follower of Jesus Christ, we come before him on our judgment day, that we will stand before him clothed in the righteousness of Jesus the Christ who died for us. The Latin word for priest, is Pontifex. It has an interesting meaning. It means bridge builder. That's what a pontifex is. It's what a priest is supposed to do. A priest is supposed to build a bridge between God and his people. That is our role as a royal priesthood, is to build a bridge between God and the people that do not know his grace and his love. That's the calling of the church, is to be a bridge builder, to build bridges that point to the grace of God that we know. Verse 9 says that we are, as followers of Jesus, a holy nation. Always balk at the word holy. There ain't nothing holy about Mike Tyson. But then I look at what the meaning of holy is. It doesn't mean like really good, like angelic. It doesn't mean I'm even well behaved. It means that we are set apart, that we are different. That's what it means for us to be a holy nation, that we are set apart, that we are different. That we as a holy nation should be only about doing God's will. Period. We're not shaped by the mores and the trends of the culture around us. Our concern is being obedient to God's will in our life. No matter what the world is telling us over here, we should be a holy nation that stands apart, that looks different than the rest of the world. For this church, we build bridges to God by enriching the lives of children and families, and by leading you to live, love, and serve like Jesus. This is our mission statement. This is how we build bridges to God. This is how we show the way to God's great love. By you learning more about the teachings of Jesus, it will lead you to be more Christ-like in all that you do. We're not always going to get it right. We're going to mess it up. But we want you to try to be more Christ-like in all that you do. I mean, our text talks about be a good citizen, because you are always an advertisement for Christ as a follower of Jesus. The ministries of our church are there to serve others in our community, to help build a bridge so that those that do not know the love of God can find it. Verse 10 says, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. What a gift that is, to be called God's child, to be a part of the family of God. He goes on to say, you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Our job as a church is to make sure that that mercy of God that we have received is known to the rest of the world, known to the people in our community. And I don't think this is a metaphor. It is as if the world is dying of thirst. And they are. The world is dying of thirst for something that they don't really even know what it is. But we have found the sweetest, cleanest, best living water that exists. And we need to be sharing that living water with a thirsty world. A world that thirsts for God, but doesn't even know that they're thirsting for God. It is our place to point out this living water so that other people may understand the mercy that we have received, this mercy of which we are so unworthy. The work of the church is simply this: to continue the ministry of Jesus Christ in this world. We are the hands and feet and voice of Jesus in this community. Have to ask you, if not you, who? If not us, then who? If not now, then when? We have found the living water that brings to us light and mercy and grace. Let us go forth from this place to build bridges that other people might find this grace, this mercy, and this living water that we have found. Let us pray. Gracious God, we cry out to you. Help us to slake the thirst of a thirsty world that thirsts for you. They don't know what they're missing, but they know they're missing something. So help us build bridges, Father, so that they may find the way to mercy and grace and light rather than darkness. Father, let this place, let this church, let each one of us as a brick be a part of showing your grace and your love to those in our community. Let us stand apart, different from the world. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Please stand as you're able.
Hear the benediction. Christ be with us, Christ be within us, Christ be behind us. Christ be before us, Christ be beside us, Christ who in us. Christ to comfort and restore us. Go in peace. Amen.